the projected opening night roster for the Nationals next on this edition of the Talk Nats podcast. Hello and welcome in to this edition of the Talk Nats podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network. I'm so glad you decided to join me today. As always, this podcast is free and available on all the major platforms. My name is Dan Holme. You can find me on Twitter. It's at DanCaps218. You can find the show on Twitter. It's at TalkNats. BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile device. Head to BetOnline today to be part of the team, and remember to use promo code BELIEVE. That's promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here. So in this edition of the Talk Nats podcast, we talk about some of the questions, different positions for the Nationals, as this is a young and up-and-coming team, still a rebuild team. There were some off-season acquisitions, and where do those players fit into the Nationals' master plans? One of the biggest questions this offseason, there's many of them, but one of them was who is going to play first? Listen, we remember last season, you know, you saw Joey Meneses get a look over there. And there were some questions about, well, who is going to be on the Nationals this season, being that Dom Smith is no longer in the Nationals organization. And it does appear to me that it is starting to come into focus here. I think we have the answer on who is going to be playing first base for the Nationals, and it's most not likely who you think it's going to be. It'll most likely be Joey Gallo, and I think that at least in part, he is going to be the player that starts at first base for the Nationals. But listen, this is a team in flux. There are a lot of questions, but based on his quad injury, I project him to be the opening night starter at first base. And talking about that, it's primarily due to Gallo's sore quad this spring, and the recent signing of Eddie Rosario and Jesse Winker have convinced manager Davey Martinez to use Gallo primarily at first base for now. And this is an interesting position for Joey Gallo, as he is a guy that takes a lot of pride in his defensive prowess, primarily in the outfield. And I think that at the end of the day, that's where he would prefer to be, in the outfield. But for right now, that is where he's going to start. I think right now the idea is to keep Gallo at first base and DH him at times, Martinez said, especially now that he's had this little tweak of his quad. We'll try to keep him out of the outfield for now. Who knows what's going to happen in the future, but I want him to be healthy before we put him in the outfield. And why is that? There's a lot more running. There's a lot more at stake. You have to use your body that much more running after fly balls, those sorts of things. So I think that it is the right idea to start Joey Gallo at first. And a little bit later, I'll talk about what that means for Joey Meneses. But at least you are starting to see the sketches take place of who is most likely going to be where on opening night. Gallo missed several days due to a quad injury and split his time working with the outfield and infield. He also DH'd three other times, but is trending towards being the everyday starter at first. And I think a good thing, because, you know, for me, if you had told me that Joey Meneses was going to be the everyday starter at first, I think that he would like it. I don't think that the Nationals necessarily would like it, or they wouldn't like the production and what that would mean for the Nationals at first base. But for right now, it's going to be Gallo at first, and ostensibly Joey Meneses will get primarily at bats, not too much in the field. But of course, everything is subject to change. It's an interesting move for the Nationals, as they brought him in for his power, but also his defensive prowess, Gallo that is, and to play in the outfield. He won the Gold Glove Award in both 2020 and 2021. He's not completely inexperienced at first. He got his start at third base, with the Rangers back in the day. So he does have experience playing the infield. But I think given his druthers, he would rather play in the outfield. But for right now, I think he understands. I think that he's probably a little bummed out just based on that quad injury. I think that he probably had grander plans of playing in the outfield. He says, though, obviously I can play outfield wherever. You can throw me out there. I'm all right. But first base is a position you do have to work a little bit more and get a relationship with the infielders. I think that's part of it as well. And I'm not here to diminish what a first baseman does. I'm just saying that if he's playing in the outfield based on that quad injury, that he is, you know, he would have to put that to the test and you know, any weakness, and that would probably come into focus a little bit more. So the question now, what about Joey Meneses? We know that he has some pop in his bat, but not the best fielder in the world. He feels like he's a better player when he's more engaged, not only hitting, but playing in the field. It does appear as though he will at least start the season as the DH. That's fine. I think that's subject to change. I also wouldn't be too surprised, you know, if he gets moved at some point, you know, say the trade deadline or something like that, that Joey Meneses does have a little bit of pop in his bat, but does he fit into the Nationals' grander plans other than just being a DH? Meneses is fairly inexperienced at first, only playing 20 games last season. He's going to get the bulk at DH, Martinez said, but there's going to be times when I want Joey Gallo to DH and other Joey Meneses will play first. So that's what I was talking about there. He is going to start the season, Gallo that is, at first, but I think that once they start getting more miles on the odometer, the Nationals odometer, they will see how players how they play at set positions. But where it gets complicated for the Nationals is the additions of Winker and Rosario make Gallo's path to the outfield a little bit more complicated. So even when that quad is good to go, is there a clear path for him to the outfield? As it does appear to me that is where he would rather play. Both are in camp on minor league deals, but Rosario is expected to make the club and be a regular in the lineup in left and center fields. Winker also figures to be in the mix for left field or an off-the-bench player. Again, and those are, you know, kind of not set in stone either. We don't know what the long-term plans are for James Wood, you know, those kind of players. Robert Hassel, are they going to get their opportunity at some point for the Nationals this season? Is there the remote possibility that any of those prospect players will break camp? Probably not, but I guess stranger things have happened. The thing about it really gets his bat in the lineup as much as we can, Martinez says. Winker has done really well in left, but we can do a lot of different things with him as well as far as left field DH. They've both been swinging the bat well, but Eddie can play some defense, and I've said it before, we're going to see if he plays some center for us as well, and if he does, that gives us a lot of options. Then you also factor in Victor Robles. What kind of Victor Robles are the Nationals going to have this season? We know that he is prone to being bit by the injury bug. We know that he's prone to being inconsistent. So to pencil, you know, Victor Robles in center field for a long-term solution at center, I think is, you know, being hopeful, a bit wishful thinking. So it's good that the Nationals have options. But what about Rosario and his thoughts are in playing center field? When I first signed as a fourth-round pick of the Twins in 2010, I signed as a center fielder, he said. I played in the minor league games in center field. I played a couple games in the majors in center as well. I feel comfortable. So a lot of questions for the Nationals, as you would imagine, as you know, the regular season approaches and certain things are coming into focus. The one thing I know for sure that I think that I'm impressed. I think that a lot of Major League Baseball is probably kind of impressed. And, you know, I know you can't put too much weight into preseason, but like the game yesterday, Nats final, Nats 7, Mets 3, your Washington Nationals have won 6 straight and are now 12-8 in the Grapefruit League. Who saw that coming? I didn't see that coming. Can that translate to the regular season? Listen, I know it's still a lot of minor league players versus minor league pitching, but the further we get towards the regular season, the more big leaguers that'll be out there, and you'll ultimately see what these teams have in the tank. All right, so coming up here after the break, we do have the latest news on Carter Kieboom. I guess it's not too recent, but I do this show a couple times a week. We have the latest on what is the latest on the Carter Kieboom experiment. What can we expect from him, and where will he land during the season? I'll discuss coming up. The official sponsor of the Talk Nats podcast is SeatGeek. Take $20 off your first ticket purchase when you use promo code MINUTECAST at SeatGeek.com. That's promo code MINUTECAST for $20 off your first ticket purchase. That works for music, comedy, and theater, not to mention all the sports in the DC area. $20 off when you use promo code MINUTECAST at SeatGeek.com. All right, welcome back into this edition of the Talk Nats podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network. Check out our friends at TalkNats.com, as they are a wealth of knowledge when it comes to the Nationals. If you know you aren't totally up to speed with the Nationals, of the comings and goings, they have guys that are devoted to covering the Nationals. So to be in the know when it comes to the Nationals, go to TalkNats.com or check them out on Twitter, X, if you will, at Talk Nats. All right, so welcome back into this edition of the Talk Nats podcast. Let's talk about the third base position and who ultimately figures to be in at third. Well, one player I think we know for sure is not going to be playing at third base, at least on the big team, the Washington Nationals, is Carter Kieboom. The Washington Nationals have assigned third baseman Carter Kieboom to AAA Rochester, the team announced Wednesday. Kieboom cleared outright waivers before he was sent down. The Nationals' 40-man roster is now sitting at 39. Again, this piece was from Wednesday in Fan Nation. So, you know, he's one of the guys that's a bit interesting. I think there was grand plans of him having an everyday role at third base. When Anthony Rendon went out to the Angels, I think we thought that, you know, the clear replacement for Carter Kieboom, or excuse me, for Anthony Rendon is going to be Carter Kieboom. And he never really shown that. He was inconsistent. He was injured. And now it appears that he will at least start the regular season in the minors. The 26-year-old infielder was once a top prospect for the Nats, who selected Kieboom in the first round of the 2016 MLB draft. He is evidently no longer part of the team's young core, however, given his lack of success at the big league level. And, you know, a bit surprising in the first place was, if we remember last season, towards the end of the year, I was listening to a lot of the Premier insiders, and they were saying we probably won't get a look at Carter Kieboom. But then something strange happened. He did get called up, and you know, he's shown some brief glimpses of greatness. He hit some home runs, kind of catching a lot of people by surprise. I want to say it was, I think, his first at bat, if I remember right. He hit a home run, catching a lot of people by surprise. But ultimately, it was not something that was sustainable. And ultimately, as we see here, he got sent down to the minors. Kieboom was ranked number 4 in the Nats farm system entering 2017. My, how time flies. He also climbed to number 3 to start of the 2018 season, number 2 in 2019, and number 1 in 2020. So the ceiling for him was rather high at one point in his career. He's one of the guys, I wish him nothing but the best, but it seems like he has been given opportunity after opportunity for the Nationals. Maybe there is an outside possibility he gets a call up, but I think that's pretty remote considering the acquisitions that the Nationals made in the offseason. At his peak, MLB pipeline had Kieboom pegged as the number 21 prospect in all of baseball. So again, to say that there was high hopes for Keboom would be an understatement. Keboom appeared in 11 MLB games in 2019, then exceeded his rookie limits in 2020 by playing 33 games. He failed to make a positive impact in either stint, batting 181 with a 541 OPS and 0.7 WAR. After struggling in 62 big league games in 21, Keboom underwent Tommy John and missed all of 2022. Listen, that is what really stymied his growth. He did not impress upon his return in 23 either, batting 207 in 27 games. Keboom is a 199 hitter in his major league career, recording 12 home runs, 42 RBIs, 138 strikeouts, a 598 OPS. In 8 Grapefruit League appearances down at spring training, Keboom was 3-for-13 with a walk, an RBI, and 2 strikeouts. So listen, at the end of the day, I wish Carter Keboom nothing but the best. I just don't think that he has a bright future for in the Nationals organization. Again, I guess that there is always the outside possibility that he gets called up. You know, say there's a plethora of injuries or something like that for the Nationals, something crazy could happen. But, you know, ultimately, I don't see that happening. And again, all we can do is wish him the best and know that the Nationals have plenty of options at the third base position, in my estimation. So his path back to the bigs is a little bit murky. All right. So coming up here after the break, we will talk about the projected opening night roster, who is going to be where, who's going to be batting where, those types of things I'll discuss coming up. The Talk Nats podcast is brought to you by Righteous Felon Jerky. Now listen, it's not often that I would refer to beef jerky as delicious, but I will in this case. Righteous Felon Jerky, high protein, low fat, crush your New Year's resolution by taking 15% off at righteousfelon.com, or just check the link in the show description if you're looking for a quick go-to snack when you're at work. You know, quit reaching for chips, those things with high fat. Reach for some Righteous Felon Jerky. Again, 15% off when you use promo code MINUTECAST. That's promo code MINUTECAST. And just crush that New Year's resolution with the delicious flavors at Righteous Felon. Today's episode is also brought to you by HairClub.com. Live your best hair life, and you can do that with the confidence that the fine folks over at HairClub.com can provide. Listen, if you are one of the guys, say you're a single guy out there and you're looking to, you know, find yourself a new lady, get that confidence over at hairclub.com. Say you're a guy that's balding. Say you are a guy that doesn't have any hair on top and you would like to address the situation. Reach out to the fine folks at hairclub.com. Use promo code MINUTECAST and save some money on their assessment. And they'll tell you what you need to do to start looking your best. All right, welcome back into this edition of the Talk Nats podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network, talking about projected opening night roster for the Nationals. And there's some surprises, some things that aren't too much of a surprise, but this was from MLB.com. Jessica Camarado talking about who she thinks is going to play where. I honestly think to keep these guys healthy and on the field, it's important to rotate them. Manager Davey Martinez said this morning, like I always tell them, someone's day off will be DHing instead of just getting a complete day off. He was talking about the young players, who's going to be playing where, and ultimately keeping this team healthy. I don't think it's saying anything too novel, anything too surprising, that your team needs to be healthy if you have grand plans of doing anything. And the Nationals, even though this is what I would say is still a rebuild year, we're still waiting for the young troops to make their way onto the big team at some point. We're talking Cruz. We're talking James Wood. We're talking Robert Hassel, Brady House, those kind of players. That keeping this core team this year healthy is of paramount importance. But talking the catcher position, I don't think there's any surprise there. K-Bert Ruiz, Riley Adams, the catching duo of Ruiz, who signed an 8-year contract extension last March, and Adams are back for 2024. Backup Adams is returning after a left hamate fracture that cut his season short on September 6th. He is a guy that I think is underutilized by the Nationals, because he has some pop in his bat. When he plays, he has some pop in his bat, and it's a difficult position because Ruiz signed that big contract and is dubbed the opening day starter for the Nationals. So some difficult questions for the Nationals. So I ultimately think that, you could use Adams in another capacity. I know that they've toyed with the idea of him playing first base. I don't think that's going to be the case anymore. That was just something that was kind of spitballed at one point. But again, I would like to see him get more at-bats. And also Ruiz has got to work on his game. We know that part of his weakness is framing pitches. I know that he went to that one knee thing that kind of led to some interference calls earlier in the season. Hopefully they can figure that out. If you are going to have any success at a team, you definitely need a great catcher working in tandem with great pitching. And especially since it's kind of an inexperienced starting rotation and a young pitching staff, they need all the help that they can get. Talking about first base, their projection is Joey Gallo, Joey Meneses. No surprise there. Gallo and Meneses are expected to split time at first base after Gallo signed a one-year deal this offseason. While Meneses can still be tabbed to DH, the goal is to get him into rhythm with more consistent playing time at first, where he played in 2022. My projection on this is Joey Gallo gets the everyday start, Joey Meneses sprinkled in here and there. Second base is where it gets a little bit more interesting. Garcia is looking to have a full season in the bigs after he was optioned to AAA last August for 25 games. Now, there's Lipsicum that I think that could also be in the mix there. I've also heard, Nunez is in the mix there as well, that there is options out there if Garcia is not up to snuff. I ultimately think that he will get the start to start the regular season, but I don't think that he has a lock on the second base position. I think that if he falters, much like last season, to send a message to him, I wouldn't rule out him getting sent to with minor league baseball. And ultimately, if he does not live up to potential, maybe being dealt at some point. So a lot of questions add to the second base position, not some real easy answers. Taking a look at shortstop, there's a lock there. Make no mistake about it. CJ Abrams in beast mode. CJ Abrams ended last season on a high note, setting the team record for most stolen bases in a season. He was a guy that started the season a little bit rough. There were some gaffes defensively, but ultimately when they moved him around in the starting lineup there, in the batting order as well, he saw great success there as well. I have no questions about CJ Abrams. I think that he has shortstop on lock, and I don't think there's anyone out there really going to challenge him for that. Third base, as we know that Brady House is the long-term answer at third base. When will he be ready? That is the question. But that position will be Brady House's in years to come. It's just the when he's ready. But for now, it appears to be Nick Senzel. Senzel signed a one-year deal with the Nats in December after being non-tendered by the Reds in November. Not only does Senzel have the opportunity to be starting third baseman, he is reunited with his childhood friend, Lane Thomas. A good story there about Senzel and ultimately who I see starting at third base. Outfield, there's a lot of questions. We know who's coming for the Nationals. We know the big names. I've talked about them already in the show. We're talking James Wood. We're talking Dylan Cruz, Robert Hassel, those kind of players. That these players that are out there now are Band-Aids, I'm going to say, for the most part. The only player that I would say is a little bit different in that mix is Lane Thomas. I think that if we can see another great season from Lane Thomas, he figures to be in the somewhat long-term plans for the Washington Nationals. But the outfielders and who they have projected, MLB.com, is left field Jesse Winker, center field Victor Robles. Again, some question marks there. Right field Lane Thomas. Winker, an all-star outfielder in 2021, could join the trio of Robles, who is returning from a back injury that limited him to 36 games last season, and Thomas, who is coming off a breakout year. Lane Thomas has been that and then some for the Nationals, just playing huge and I think far exceeded expectations when we first brought him to this team, not only at bat, but how he plays in the field. Talking about the DH, Joey Gallo, Joey Meneses, Jesse Winker, that is going to be in flux. Look for the Nats to fill the designated hitter role by committee, depending on matchups and health. Stone Garrett, who was previously listed in this group, still is working his way back. Listen, I think Stone Garrett has a spot when he's ready to go. The guy is built like a brick shithouse. I think that for sure, that when he's good to go, put him in the lineup. And if he is any kind of player like he was last season, I think he will be a key contributor, but they have that needed depth. In that mix, I guess you could always put Stone Garrett at the designated hitter position, you know, as he works his way back. Listen, this, a lot of this is still a fluid situation. It's in flux. It's just going to remain to be seen who kind of really rises to the challenge. Talking about the bench, Ildemar Vargas, Nazem Nunez, and Jacob Young. The Nats locked in Vargas for 2024 in September after the upbeat veteran clubhouse presence played third base, second base, shortstop, left field, and right field, first base, and even pitched last season. The Nationals selected Nunez from the Marlins organization in the 2023 Rule 5 draft and is vying to return and earn a spot on the major league roster in the middle. That's why I talked about at second base, maybe. What kind of Nunez do we see? We know what he is projected to do and what the ceiling is on him. I don't see him being a real option. I just kind of threw his name out there as a maybe. Who's someone that I know that could potentially play second base? Nunez, maybe. So a lot of questions about the second base position on who will be playing where. Young ascended through the minors to make an impact on the Nationals with his defense and speed. Listen, Jacob Young, wow, exceeded my expectations. It seemed like the end of last season, they were just calling all these random call-ups, and you didn't really have high hopes for any of them. But I would say that Jacob Young impressed me. I think that he definitely does. He's got a bench job. But I'm not so, you know, I don't think that there's not the outside possibility that he couldn't earn an outfield position this year. It's just going to depend on how everyone plays. But I was most impressed with Jacob Young and also Ildemar Vargas in that mix. He is shown to be a good utility player in the infield. I think that he would be a good option just as that, as a bench player. I think if there's any faltering at third, I think that ultimately he could play. He could play third base, but he also would be another option that I forgot to mention at second base as well. So the Capitals as well. The Nationals have plenty of options in the infield. So a lot of questions remain, but none more than the starting pitching, Patrick Corbin, Josiah Gray, Mackenzie Gore, Jake Irvin, and Trevor Williams. The Nats could return their entire starting rotation from last season, right-hander Zach Davies, and number 13 prospect Jackson Rutledge, who made four starts at the end of the season, are among those looking to make a case to join the group. Listen, as we take a look at Jackson Rutledge, he started pretty shaky in his starts with the Nationals towards the tail end of the season. I thought he kind of found his groove a little bit later in the season, but it's going to be interesting. Patrick Corbin, I will be happy when we're past the Patrick Corbin era. Flashes of greatness. Josiah Gray killing it, constantly working on his game, constantly crafting new pitches, or, you know, trying to refine and work on pitches that he already has in his arsenal. Josiah Gray, ceilings up there. Mackenzie Gore, I like his game, thinks about things a little bit too much. Jake Irvin, flashes of greatness. One great start here, one not so great start there. A lot of question marks, and I am not in love with Trevor Williams on this team, but we know that there are some questions. We know that there's going to be some changes. We know that Cade Cavalli will most likely ostensibly join this team in around June or July. So that is how it is laid out to start the season. Corbin, Gray, Mackenzie Gore, Jake Irvin, and Trevor Williams. But I do see that as a work in progress, and I would expect some changes. Relief pitching: Kyle Finnegan, Hunter Harvey, Tanner Rainey, Dylan Floro, Jordan Weems, Robert Garcia, and Matt Barnes. The Nationals bullpen faced a hurdle early in camp when it was determined right-hander Mason Thompson would undergo Tommy John surgery. Late-inning reliever Barnes, who signed a minor league deal as an invite to the camp, is looking for a bounce-back season. Follow hip last surgery, the Nats are also interested in a long man, which could be identified later in the spring. Now, listen here. One of the things that I'm going to talk about to wrap up this show is I wish they would have gone out there. I wish that Mike Rizzo would have been a man of his word and would have gone out there and picked up that veteran starting pitcher, the guy that would kind of be a mentor to a lot of the other younger players out there. As it turns out, it didn't happen. And this is ultimately what we're going into the season with. And it's, you know, interesting, you know, just to briefly touch on it, it does appear that the learners are not trying to sell the team anymore. The only guy that kind of threw his hat in the ring to buy the team was Ted Leonsis, the owner of the Capitals and the Wizards. But ultimately, the asking price was too high. And then there was talk about the Lerners and different family members involved that we never even wanted to sell the team. So some questions abound. And I think that, you know, the team will be good in years to come. The thing that has me concerned is the young players that are on this team. We've seen this before with Bryce Harper. We've seen this with Juan Soto, where they develop players. And then once they get to be great players, then they're on to the next one. See Juan Soto, see Bryce Harper, for example, that they spend the time, they spend the effort to develop these players, and then they're on to the next team. This is primarily in with Scott Boras' clients, who is, you know, a fierce agent for a lot of MLB players. But that is my hope, that, you know, the Nationals are taking the time. They have some premier talent. They traded away Max Scherzer and Trey Turner and Juan Soto and Josh Bell to get a tremendous haul. And it changed the Nationals from one of the lower team prospect wise in the minors to one of the better teams, that they don't trade those players away. I've seen this movie before with a lot of other teams out there, that they spend the time to get these players where they need to be, and then they move them. That is not an ideal situation. But as we take a look at this preseason, as we're making our way, you know, slowly towards the start of the regular season, that the Nationals are already impressing. They're exceeding expectations. Again, I'm not dubbing them as being contenders for winning a World Series, but what I am saying is that I'm glad they're playing how they are playing versus, you know, just losing every game out there, of course. So a lot of people want to take a negative spin on it. They're like, well, they're playing good in spring training. That doesn't mean anything. Hey, it's better than them playing poorly, right? So I will take that any day of the week. I'm excited about what this team has. And most notably, I'm excited about the young prospects on this team and where they figure in. I just, you know, I get a little bit impatient at times. I want to see James Wood on the big team this season. I ultimately know that's probably what's not best for him. I want to see Robert Hassel on the big team. I want to see, you know, the premier pitching out there. I want to see, you know, Cade Cavalli out there sooner than later, even though I know he's coming back from an injury. So a lot of questions in the Nationals organization, and it is a time of change. But ultimately, I'm glad that we're starting to kind of see things laid out on who is going to be playing what position there. Again, a lot will change in the coming days. Listen, I want to thank you for joining me on this edition of the Talk Nats podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network. And I'll talk to you again next time.